regrow an animal regularly, and you can intentionally regrow an animal, and your teeth are alive. So your teeth and the condition of your teeth is one of the best indicators of health overall, because really the heart of almost all of our medical and dental issues is our diet. We're the largest community of people who are making our own medicine, growing our own food, and becoming extraordinarily healthy.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I'm bringing back Marjorie Wildcraft. People love her. I've gotten so many great responses of having her on and the information that you learn when you listen to her. But she has this thing out about how your teeth, they're alive, and that you can regrow your own enamel. And it's such a foreign concept. The whole dentistry, the whole industry is in the dark ages, and they're just starting to move into understanding how important this stuff is and how it affects other parts of your body and your health. Amazing information. It sounds kind of boring, dentistry. It's not. When you realize what's actually going on, and so many of us have problems with our teeth, and as you get older, you have more. And this is such an eye-opening discussion on so many levels. And I really was fascinated with talking to her about this. And she does have a DVD set that goes even farther to educate you on how you can take care of a lot of your own dental problems. And I have a link here below that you can, you know, get that information. But listen to this, and if you think it's valuable information, then maybe you want to go and get more. Absolutely fascinating. And then I've had some pushback from listeners as far as me doing some ads. And I got to tell you, that's the only way I make money, so that I can keep doing this stuff for you. I'm trying to bring out, you know, the edge of our knowledge, talk about big issues. Where's the disruption occurring? You know, what innovation is going on? There's so much chaos and there's so much happening right now. I'm trying to help you make sense of it and understand it. There's nothing better than education. And on the edge of science and on the edge of these things, in an intellectual, smart way, trying to be smart about it and not over the top sensational on it. You know, obviously, to get people to watch the video, sometimes you'll notice my titles might be a little sensational, but the information is so great, and I don't know how else to get people to come to the interview. But as far as the pushback on the advertising, I gotta tell you, I work really hard to find things that I think are genuinely good for people. And what I really like about this latest round of advertising that I'm working with sponsors, it's all free. They're giving you free information. And the only way any of us, I make any money, I get a little bonus, is if anybody ends up buying something at the end. And you only buy it if you find that information to be really valuable to you and you want more, or you want to buy it so that you have something to refer back to. Like, for example, there's this thing going on right now on the cancer in pets. And it's and I'll have the link for that. You know, over 50% of our dogs have cancer now, and cats aren't far behind. And it's a free 7-part documentary. And the thing is that it doesn't cost you anything. And if you want more information, if you want to buy it so you have something to refer back to, that's the only way anybody makes any money. Otherwise, it's all free, and you get all this knowledge and all this stuff for free. And so I think it's so beneficial for everybody. And so I feel good about doing these ads and having sponsors like that and making money that way, because it keeps me going and it actually helps everybody. It's a win-win for everyone. So that's what I'm doing. And so please don't push back when you see an ad like that and say that it's ridiculous, because everybody has to make money. So I don't understand where some of that's coming from. Maybe it's just a lack of understanding of how the world really works. Before we get into that, I want to tell you, she sticks around to do another special content for my patrons, exclusive for patrons. You can be a patron for as little as $1 a month, but she sticks around and answers what are the best questions that you should ask a dentist when you're looking for one. How do you interview one? And after you see this interview, you'll see why knowing what questions to ask and how to look for somebody who is, she calls it being tuned in to what's really going on in the world. And it's really enlightening and very educational. So I have the link there if you want to become a Patreon. And let's get into that interview now with Marjorie Wildcraft. Hi, Marjorie. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much, Sarah. I'm really glad to be back on.
Well, you provide so much amazing information. I've had a lot of listeners say, I love this, and thank you for bringing her on. Yeah, because it's so many things that people need to hear. You're really great. But let's start with something that I was kind of blown away by. And I didn't realize that your teeth can grow itself. Enamel can grow. I mean, I guess now that I think about it, it makes sense. But you think that your teeth are growing as adults and they're dead. And if they break, you're done for life. And that's kind of what we're trained on. So can you explain the fact that they're alive and why nobody knows this?
I know. And it's crazy. I see it, I don't watch the nightly news. My husband does. And I walk by and I hear this thing of, once your enamel's gone, it's gone forever. That is not at all true. You regrow enamel regularly, and you can intentionally regrow enamel. Let's think about it. Like, your teeth and your bones, very, very similar. You break a bone, you don't think, oh, okay, my arm's going to be broken forever. You fully expect that your body will heal that and repair it, right? It's a very similar process with teeth. So you absolutely can regrow enamel. Now, the matrix of the tooth, like if you chip a tooth and you've got, a big chunk missing there, I have not yet. There are some studies I've been looking into of people that have regrown the matrix, but that's actually very rare. But your teeth can completely remineralize that and seal that off and actually make it stronger. But your teeth are alive. I mean, there's blood going in through the innervation. There's fluids going back and forth, albeit a lot slower, but it's very similar to bone material. And your teeth are alive.
It's just amazing. So can it be regrown at any age? And is it reasonably simple to do? Because, I mean, if it's something where you have to have this strict dietary protocol, it's, really hard to get humans to do stuff. But is it,
Well, there is one key herb that really helps you to do that, and that's called Equisetum hymali, and it's an ancient plant, also known as horsetail, as it's common. Oh, geez, I have some growing right outside my door there because every day I just nip off a bite of this horsetail. It's very high in silica and other components that really just help your teeth maintain their strength. And it's an amazing herb that after you take it for a couple of weeks, you'll really start to notice like, hey, my teeth are stronger. And given that, you do have to have a pretty clean diet. I mean, if you're pumping down candy bars every day and eating junk food, I'm sorry, there's no herb in the world is going to help you, with your teeth or with anything else, right?
But you're going to develop. Yeah, you're going to develop all sorts of other issues because we know our food has toxins and stuff. So you have to have a clean diet just so you're healthy. Your teeth will be the least amount of your worries if that's what you're doing.
Right. But there's an extraordinary amount that you can do, and it's pretty simple. One thing that I like to do and that we teach in the video that we've created is you just take a little stick and start rubbing your teeth. They really respond to pressure. They like pressure. And it also starts to get you, most people, they brush their teeth and they don't really have any sense of their teeth, right? But if you start really feeling them and getting to know them and becoming more intimate, I mean, it's a part of your body, right? that's another way to really start to get in touch with like, hey, these things are alive and they move to some extent and they respond certainly to heat and cold. They also respond to your diet. And if you start realizing that they're alive and starting to pay more attention to it, you'll start to notice more. They're not just dead inert things that are in your mouth, right?
Well, because as people age, there's a lot of people that have to get dentures and your teeth are chipping and it's awful. So can it happen at any age? I mean, is it like you get older and it's hard? No,
you
it's
know,
the same.
Older, you, okay. You can, I mean, your body still responds. Your body still heals. When you get old, you get cut and your body will heal that, you know. The response might be a little bit slower, but or depending on your overall health level. But absolutely, at any age, you can regrow the enamel on your teeth.
Okay, so now we got to get back to this question. Is it on purpose that we don't know this? You know, is it an evolution of knowledge, you know, new studies, or did we once understand this?
We absolutely used to know this, and I'll tell you a historical thing. So in the Roman times, back when human slavery was a very common thing, right? Everybody had slaves. We still have slaves today, by the way, but they're electrical, like your blender or your fan or, you know, whatever.
Oh, we still have human slaves, unfortunately.
And we still do have human slaves, absolutely. But back then, you know, just like judging a horse or anything else, when you went to go buy a slave, of course, the slave traders would, you know, feed them up real good and give them herbs, and clean them up and try and make them look good for the sale. But the way that anybody knew, and this was common knowledge, the way that they would determine if that, and when you bought a slave, you wanted a healthy slave, right? You don't want to buy somebody who's sickly because you've just spent a bunch of money on this person and now you're going to have to, you know, take care of them or whatever, right? They're slaves, right? You're completely responsible for them. So you want to buy a healthy slave. And the way that the surefire way to tell if somebody was healthy was not to have them open their mouth and look at their teeth. Somebody was telling me recently, even as far back as the United States government, a part of their protocol for, I believe, during World War I and World War II, when they were trying to evaluate the fitness of young men to be soldiers, their dental health was one of the primary indicators of whether that person was ultimately healthy or not. So your teeth and the condition of your teeth is one of the best indicators of health overall. And it's astonishing now that by the age of 40, the average American has, I forget what the number is, it's something like 20 cavities. Like that is a general indication of the absolute poverty or impoverishment of the health of Americans at this point in time. So
because your dental health, your teeth health is the same indication of the food that you're eating. And it's the best indication, essentially.
It is. You know, for years I was trying to go, how do I know if I'm healthy or not, right? I would go to my doctors and I would say, and I don't have that many doctors, but I'd go to a doctor and I'd say, how do I know if I'm healthy? And they, you know, we'd run all these blood tests and they would all be in these ranges of numbers or something like that. But then you'd run into so many other people that would have all their blood numbers would be good and they'd end up with cancer or, you know, I'm like, how do I really know if I'm healthy? Because most of the medical system is just focused on knowing whether you have a disease or not. Like, I want to know, how do I know if I'm healthy? And I kept asking and asking and asking this question. It really came down over and over again to dental health. How strong are your teeth? And that is one of the simplest and easiest ways to know if you're healthy or not.
Well, most people don't have dental insurance because we, you know, you end up paying for it yourself. Now, how important, and you know, I've seen studies that a lot of people who are homeless or poor are having issues with their teeth. And it actually is killing people. And important is the health of your teeth to the health of yourself?
Your overall body. Yes, there is a lot of research between the correlation of the bacteria on your teeth, or if there's infection in your teeth, or if your teeth are decaying and you've still got them in, say, with a root canal or something. There's high levels of decay and infection that can hide in your mouth for a long time. Well, those same bacteria, they're correlating with breast cancer, with heart disease, with all sorts of different, you know, common diseases of civilization. Also, historically, again, there was a really switched on dentist named Dr. Weston Price, who lived like, and he was like in the prime of his life in, say, you know, the 1920s to the 1950s. That was his working career, essentially. Well, he had the resources and the time and was at the right point in history where in the 1930s, he traveled all around the world. And here, a little of his backstory was he was a very, very well-known, well-respected dentist. And at that point, he was also the president of what was known as what became the American Dental Association. They changed their name after. But I mean, and he had done all this work on infection and decay. And at one point, he was like, wow, I think we're really focusing on the wrong thing here. We're looking at people who are sick. And what we should be doing is looking at people who are healthy and asking, why are they healthy? And not like, how do we fix sick people? Like, what are the characteristics of really healthy people? And at that time in the dental community, it was very, very well known that indigenous peoples living their indigenous lifestyle and eating their indigenous diets almost never had cavities. And they knew that not only from, you know, and so from living specimens of people, but also from skulls. You know, they would exhume skulls of people, and you would see these elders, you know, in their 80s or 90s that had perfect teeth and no cavities. And so Dr. Price went and traveled, and I forget how many groups he went to. It was either like 11 or 13 different indigenous, like Africa and you know, the Australia and, you know, that continent and the Inuit far up north here in North America. And there were these real isolated groups up in the mountains in Switzerland. And he went to these places where these people had really had very little contact with civilization. And he examined all, he managed to get them to show them all their teeth. And he would examine all of their teeth. And then he would look at their diet. And he would actually measure the nutrient density in all the foods they were eating and look at how they were moving and living. And like, you know, it was so rare that they would even have a cavity. Like, it was so rare that they would even lose a tooth, because these people were in superb health and living a very, you know, what a human being is supposed to live. So, you know, that. Yeah, the dental community now, you know, I mean, there aren't many examples of indigenous peoples anymore, so that knowledge has been lost. But it is not an innate human thing that when you get old, you're going to lose your teeth.
Okay, so now, if we knew this, is it on purpose? Is it greed? Why are we so ignorant? And, you know, come same with the doctors. They don't get any education, one class on nutrition.
Absolutely.
And we're starting to really know how dumb that is. Was it the same? And, you know, it was on purpose, a lot of this stuff. But how about with dentistry? Was it on purpose? Or was it, obviously the problem is more complex than that. Some people just didn't know. But the people who did know, did they purposely keep us ignorant so they could make money? Or what is the deal?
Yeah, I am not sure, because Weston Price also did a lot of research on root canals, and he was very much against root canals and did a ton of experiments showing that those are actually really bad things to have done to you, and that it was the precipitator of many, many diseases and many problems. I'm not sure. I mean, the whole food thing is such a complex issue. But certainly the shift in our diets to grains and carbohydrates, and the shift in our diets away from high quality fats to these cheaper vegetable oils, all of that contributes more and more to deteriorating health, and especially dental health.
And that's why people are getting so many more dentures and they're having to put in fake teeth. And I mean, it's really a problem amongst older people.
And implants and all kinds of things. You know, I've quite frankly lost a few teeth, and for a while I was like, oh man, I just don't want to admit it, you know. So I would go ahead and get a root canal so that I have something there, right? And then eventually, you know, one of my dentists I was really, really switched on guy is like, hey, look, Marjorie, here's all the research. Like, you know, you were totally setting yourself up for a high probability of breast cancer by leaving that thing in there. You should pull, you know, this tooth, because what you basically have is a piece of your own body that's dead, that's up in there, you know, like, do you think that's good? And I'm like, no. I started digging into all the research and I'm like, okay, we're going to pull this. And I've got a spot there. And I'm like, well, what do I do? Because chewing is not as easy when you're missing teeth. And I've been doing a lot of research on these implants, and people are getting implants like crazy, but there's, you know, some issues with that too. So I don't know what the solution.
Dentures.
Total. dentures, you know, bridges, of course, that also weakens the teeth on the other side. I'm exploring all kinds of options. But one thing I do know is that you can regrow your enamel and you can improve the overall health of your mouth. And that a lot of the dental procedures that are being done right now are actually very damaging to your teeth. One thing that's been changing recently, which is really good, but the way they used to fill cavities almost guaranteed that it would weaken the tooth over time and that the filling would fall out. Like a filling only has an average lifespan of, I think, of about 5 years, and then it falls out. And then when they put the new one in, they have to drill out more, and then they put that in. That, and so eventually you're absolutely setting yourself up to completely destroy that tooth. So,
well, and that's why you try to keep your younger people from having those issues in the first place. And if you're still okay, try to strengthen your teeth now so you don't end up in situations where you don't have teeth. And then for those who have already lost teeth, preserve what you have and figure out other solutions, right?
And I think part of the reason, and you know, the dental, like we have alternatives to medicine, right? And alternative medicine has made huge strides just in my lifetime. I've watched it go from being this kind of flaky backwater thing to, you know, like now it's like, oh yeah, you know, these are herbs and this is homeopathy and these are, you know,
things
different
we used to know.
Things we used to, we forgot, and then now we're bringing
Eastern
them back.
And Eastern medicine knows it.
And Eastern medicine, acupuncture. But the dentists are still, you know, like, okay, I'm going to the dentist. I mean,
even your most
alternative type person is still going to go to a conventional dentist. But I really see that beginning to shift now, that we're really having some changes where dentists are going, hey, wait a minute. You know, what if we use ozone to like treat this, you know, decay? And instead of using a drill to clean out your tooth, they use these little tiny, they have these little miniature like sandblasters. And it's kind of cool because then it only takes out the soft stuff and it leaves the hard stuff in place. So whereas a drill would,
it takes out everything.
Takes out everything. So there are some advances being made. Was the whole thing intentional? I do know that Weston Price's work was suppressed for a long time, and it was only through the hard work of some small groups of real dedicated people that have managed to continue to carry on that information. And it's so infused with the powerful forces of agribusiness, because really the heart of almost all of our medical and dental issues is our diet. And, you know, quite frankly, it's a lot easier and cheaper to produce grains and carbohydrates. And that whole food pyramid that was propagated by the U.S. government, that whole bottom thing, which is all carbohydrates, that really shouldn't be there, but it's there because those are the easiest calories to produce en masse, right?
It was all BS. It was just a way to let's create a food chart that supports our food system, not the other way around.
Right. Let's create a food chart that will support what we can manufacture easily. And then let's create our whole world around that versus like what actually perpetuates health.
It's so stupid. It's so dumb. Okay.
Really is. Yes.
It's the dumbest. And we
I
all
totally
lived
it.
By it. It's painful to learn some of this stuff. Cause it's like, oh, once you realize that's so dumb. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know like at the end of World War II, at the end of a world war, at the end of any war, there should be a depression. There should be, because you have just destroyed all this stuff, right? You've just killed off a bunch of people. You've just destroyed a bunch of stuff. You know, now everybody should go back and like rebuild and try to resort out their lives. But nobody ever wants to have that at the end of a war. And at the end of World War II, they were like, what can we do to avoid this inevitable thing? And they were like, well, you know, we've built all these factories for tanks and things like that. Why don't we just convert those into tractors? And we found out that these nitrates that we were using to make ammunition, it actually can be used to make plants grow really fast. So they basically took all of the munitions infrastructure and turned it on. Basically, they started making war on the soil to produce all this food, because, you know, that's another consequence of depression is a lot of hunger and starvation. And they said, let's avoid this whole thing. If I were a captain of industry at that time, it would have sort of made sense, you know, like let's take these resources to feed these people. But, and, you know, was it a good decision for humanity to make? I think in retrospect, no.
It made sense at the time, but we hurt
and
ourselves without knowing it. It's like we're dangerous enough to hurt ourselves. You know, we know enough to hurt ourselves, but not enough to do what's right for our human beings.
Right.
And now we need to learn more and evolve so that we're not so dumb.
I've met elders that were you know, alive in the 1950s, and they said, yeah, it was great. You know, they lived in South Texas. I love to interview people in their, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and what was it like when you were growing up? And they were always amazing when that DDT came out, because we used to have mosquitoes everywhere, and then we would just spray this stuff around the house, and you'd never have a mosquito in the house. It was awesome. And I'm like, you know, that was the mindset at that time, right? Now we know, of course, that DDT, you know, and eventually DDT got banned and they were finding it all over the place and it was destroying all sorts of ecosystems and it's gone.
That's a great example, the DDT. Okay, well, you know, I was just talking to my husband last night and it's like, okay, the more you learn, the more you're like, really have to take on all my own, you know, every industry is I have to figure out on my own, and it becomes overwhelming, you know.
Need
some professionals that I can rely on, because otherwise but you always say it has to come to you first. You have to be knowledgeable first, but it's overwhelming. So what can we do to be knowledgeable and in the context of what we're capable of doing? Do you know what I'm saying? Because otherwise you can't be an expert at everything.
No, you can't. And that's part of one of the things I always talk about is community, right? You know, really, there's this myth of a lone survivor and, you know, America's got that, right? We're like, we're rugged individuals, right? And I live in Texas and it's the Lone Star State, right? You know, but really humans have always been tribal. We're community oriented. You know, you might be gifted in herbs and somebody else is gifted in blacksmithing or, you know, whatever. I mean, those are older professions, but that is the thing. And I would say, you know, start getting good. First of all, I think food is the basis of everything. And you and I have had some conversations about this and gain some basic skills in nourishing yourself in that way. And let me give you one hopeful thing. So Dr. Weston Price, you know, he clearly began to see that nutrition and food, and this is back in the 1930s and 40s, right? He's like, oh my God, the food supply is not that good. That was back before we even had the chemical stuff, right? You know, he was seeing people going more and more toward grains and carbohydrates, potatoes and bread and that sort of thing. Well, he did a thing where he took some kids, I think he was in Chicago, and they just fed them one good meal a day. And they met, you know, they looked at all their teeth and analyzed all their teeth at the beginning of this. And then they just fed them one good meal a day over a period of months and then looked at all their teeth again. And they were showing really incredible increases in the health and strength of their teeth and even some cavities that were beginning to seal over naturally on their own. Again, your body will remineralize if it has the nutrition to work from it. And that was very helpful because it was just one good meal a day. And these are like street kids that are out eating, you know, bread and jelly and other stuff when they weren't doing that. So really, even just growing a small amount or producing a smaller amount or making sure that you're eating at least one good meal a day will benefit you tremendously. And then again, with the dental health specifically, there are herb, you know, this herb horsetail is a really good one to take to help strengthen your enamel. And then there are some other techniques in that video that I was talking about of like getting to know your teeth with a stick versus just brushing it, and just being aware that they're alive. There's other techniques that you can use also.
Well, you were mentioning that. More dentists are starting to get it, but how do we find people that get it? I mean, it's so hard, you know?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, and it's hard. And one of the hardest things is ever to talk to a dentist. So first of all, they got you laying on that chair, right? And they're lording it over you, right? It's a bad situation, right? You're immediately put in a disempowering state. And then quite frankly, most people have a fundamental shame I think people know at a subconscious or an unconscious level that their teeth are indicative of their health, and that, you know, that their mouth, their gums that are bleeding, or their cavities that they have, or the problems with their teeth, they know that that is an indication of their health, and they're ashamed of it. And when you go to the dentist, most people, like 99% of people, then when they go to the dentist, they just want them to fix that and make it go away. They want to make that go away. That's like embarrassment and shame to the max, and just fix it. So, you know, just do it.
I do know.
Right?
I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't like the dentist, but keep going.
So it's first of all, so most dentists, really, they know that you are not really going to take responsibility for your health, and that all you want is this fixed. And a lot of them, that's the, you know, they basically go get trained in their dentistry stuff. They buy their dentistry equipment. They set up their business, and that's all they're doing, is they're churning people through the door, you know, filling cavities, doing root canals, doing implants, you know, just doing whatever the standard stuff is, right? And so it's very hard to find a dentist that will actually interact with you.
Yeah. How do I grow back my enamel? How do I make my teeth stronger in a dietary fashion? And how do I, so that I'm not here again with another broken tooth?
Right. So I want to, there's three sources that I've found. And one is, believe it or not, your dental hygienist. A lot of times dental hygienists are really switched on. Not always. But I've often found they're much more approachable. They're often just as knowledgeable, if not more knowledgeable, because they're seeing what these dentists are doing day in and day out. And, you know, quite frankly, I've talked to my hygienist privately, and she's like, no, go to another shop. Or, you know, here's who I recommend, right?
Well, that's sad. It's because the whole doctor thing, you know, you get this doctor degree versus we don't value all education the same. Right?
There's this
certificate education, but go ahead.
Yeah. And so often dental hygienists that are really switched on. And, you know, another source that I found is books and authors of books. So there's a lot of books coming out about curing tooth decay naturally. And I've approached the authors of those books and said, who do you recommend or who do you refer, or go to their website and see who they recommend or refer. And you can often find a dentist that way through, authors of different books. And sometimes they're dentists and sometimes they're just, you know, super empowered individuals. The third resource that I found is the Weston Price Organization has chapters all across America. And there's probably one near you. And if not, they're available through the internet and different Yahoo groups or whatever. But I would start asking, you know, get involved with one of these groups, get on their discussion board, and a frequent topic. I see I'm in the Austin area, and there's a pretty active group here. And a frequent topic is hey, what dentist do you recommend? And then, you know, most of this group is pretty switched on about having health and teeth. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I went so-and-so is good, or so-and-so is not good, or, you know, I had this experience. And you can, these are people that are definitely more switched on. And so the different Weston Price chapters, the people in that group are pretty knowledgeable about dentists, because they're the ones who get it, that your teeth are an indication of your health. So
those
are three sources.
Mm-hmm. Does every area pretty much have a switched on dentist, somebody who gets it? I mean, because, you know, you're laughing because I don't even know.
No, I mean,
there could be a whole Twin City, like my whole metropolitan area, you might not be able to find anybody.
You might not. And that's another, you know, people say, how far do I have to travel? And I'm like, how important is your dental health? Right. You know, how important is that to you right now? You know, dentistry, like I said, we're just in the beginning stages of a big change in dentistry. It's where we were with alternative medicine 30 years ago, when alternative medicine just started to be reclaimed again. And we're now, and there's more and more, there's biological dentistry and biomimetic dentistry, and there's more and more starting to come on board. But we're not there yet. We're a long ways from being there yet. And here's another key to it, though. Is, are you a good patient, right? You know, having a really switched on dentist is not going to do you any good at all if you're going to continue to eat junk food, or if you're not going to do whatever they ask you to do in terms of if you need to massage your gums or clean your teeth in a certain way, or, you know, do some protocol that they request of you, you know, if you're not willing to come up with that, or if you're not willing to change your diet or follow their recommendations, like that's why most of the dentists are the way they are, is because even that, you know, the people just are like, hey, just do me. I don't want to change
but
my life.
But isn't that, yeah, and well, it's so hard because we're so ignorant. Every process around us is geared to make us ill. So there has to be ways that we can start to change in a way that's doable. You know, I mean, honestly, you know, I went into a gas station. I was really hungry and I couldn't find anything.
There's nothing in a gas station.
I mean, I was on a detox, and so I had to eat a certain way, and I found a hard boiled egg, and I don't even know if that was good, but it was better than everything else.
Well, you know what? That's a really good point there, is do the best you can with whatever you're at, you know, and there's a spectrum, right? There's a spectrum, and here's like the ideal. And then here you are at the gas station and you did the best you could at that moment with what you had. And that's really all you can ask of yourself, right? So,
And then over time, because that's what I tell myself, is that over time I'll be healthier overall. And so I pick up different things here and there, and then I do my best, because we're surrounded by what we're surrounded by. I mean, it is what it is. And I can't, it's like I was telling my husband, I'm overwhelmed. I'm like, is there any profession that is good? You know, I can't take on everything myself. And so it's like, we learn what we can, and you integrate it, and then you get better and you integrate more and more until it becomes easier for you. But that's the only thing I can.
I completely feel you. I mean, everything from when I was opening to realizing whatever happened on 9/11 is not the official story, and that whole can of worms to, you know, peak oil, and then all the different peaks we're at, you know, believe it or not, there's a peak chicken, peak chocolate. You know, we're in an era of resource depletion. We're in an era of overpopulation of our species. We're in an era, and that's, you know, in order to keep the people alive that we are, we're having to feed everybody worse and worse and worse quality food. We're in an area of a time of unbelievable toxicity, you know, unbelievable corruption in almost everything. Our financial systems are just at the beginning of a major tsunami. 2008 was just the first wave. There's a lot more coming.
I know.
We are in this tremendous, tremendous, tremendous point of change. I love the title of this book called The Singularity Is Near. I haven't read the book, but I love the title.
The change is really good because we need it, right? It's this total chaos coming together. But to make people, give people sanity, you know, I mean, dentistry with a shitty diets, pardon my French, what we're exposed to. And, you know, there's some things, dentistry, it's so expensive. You know, you have to pay a couple $1,000 because you have a root problem. So if we can do some simple things that can help alleviate that, and then, you know, I'm in the point of trying to help people simplify and come up with solutions, and we're all in it together, trying to make a difference to make this world better and not become overwhelmed by it. And and I think that's what's important, is what things can we take from this to help us instead of being overwhelmed by the sheer amount of it. And, you know, you need, if the stuff around us was supporting good health and good nutrition, it makes it a lot easier. It's just everything works against us right now. And so that's what I'm trying to do, is give people little things. But go ahead.
One of my biggest pains in my life is the people, like my close family or close friends. You know, I know lots of things that could help them, but you can't help anybody if they aren't going to take personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
And it's such a pain because, you know, even my own husband, we both got bit by a snake. I immediately treated it at home on my own, but he went to the hospital because he does not have what it takes to take personal responsibility for, in that he's a fine man with a lot of other talents and abilities and a good husband and a good father, But in that arena, he's like, no, I'm going to let these people handle it. And so I can't, you know.
But see, ideally, you can rely on that profession, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the problem, is that we're not able to rely on all these professions right now.
We're not.
And that's why we're scrambling. How do we find somebody that we can rely on? How do we... I mean, that's the problem. That's the exact conversation I had with my husband last night. Is
how do we sort through this?
Yeah.
But you know, on the other hand, we have access to, I mean, almost anybody in the United States. I don't care if you're even really poor and on the street. You have access to incredibly nutritious food and all kinds of minerals and supplements and all kinds of treatments and therapies. Believe me, a friend of mine lives on the street by choice. That's his choice. A very intelligent, hard worker, very capable, but he chooses to live on the street. And he says, Marjorie, they're throwing out so much good organic food at all these different, you know, Whole Foods and Wheatsville and that kind of stuff. He eats incredibly well, right? Anybody who wants to can do this. And it does. It's not necessarily a matter of money, but the real key is the personal responsibility and to navigate all the, you know, okay, so this is the dentist thing and they're doing all that. Is that good or not? Or here's the, you know, like if I got cancer, like, fortunately, I don't think I'm ever going to have that. But how do you navigate that whole world, right? You know, but the thing is the first and foremost thing is personal responsibility. And with that comes... you know, all kinds of consequences. Like for a while back in my diet, quite a few years ago, I was experimenting with a fruitarian diet. And I thought, well, this looks like it might make sense. You know, we came from, you know, a warm tropical climate and that's primarily what grows there. And I love fruit. And I experimented with that for a few years. And I think that actually ended up doing a lot of damage to my teeth. That much fruit is not that good for you. And my husband's like, well, see, you did that, and that's what happened. And I'm like, yeah, right, but who is going to tell me? You know, I mean,
yeah,
if you're going to take
if
you're going to take personal responsibility for your health, you're going to make mistakes. But do you know somebody who's going to tell you? No, you don't. You have to try things and do things, find out the best source of information that you can, and then try it on your own body and take responsibility for whether that works or not.
We have to take personal. We have to take personal because we're learning that the professions aren't – I mean –
They're not.
So if we are looking for somebody that can help us and we all always have to, at some point we're going to have to go there. What do we look for? Are there certain certifications that are better than others and things that will help us understand, okay, this person at least got some really good education on this.
Let me give you three organizations that can help. That are where dentistry is going. And the first one, and these all have the similar sounding letters and stuff, so I'll read them out to you. IABDM. Boy, that sounds crazy. The International Academy of Biodentistry and Medicine. Biological Dentistry and Medicine, the International Academy. So if you go to their website, the IABDM.
I'll put that up on the video. Yeah.
There you go. You know, they'll have a list of dentists and they'll talk about what they're doing. Another one is IAOMT, which is the International Academy of Oral and Medical Toxicology. And again, these guys are also, you know, they're starting to look at like, oh my gosh, you know, those root canals really are toxic for people. So that's another one.
Can I ask you before you get into the third one? The root canal, we didn't get to dive into that. Well, give us a third one, and then I want to ask you why it's so toxic and what's happening to people.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Give us a third one.
The ABD is the Academy of Biomimetic Dentistry. So these organizations, is it going to be perfect? You don't know. Will it mean that this dentist is probably going to be a lot more open-minded than your average, you know, local dentist? Yes. Will they be open to exploring alternatives and taking your health at a different level than your average dentist? If you go there and you say, hey, I saw your credentials at the ABD, will they realize that you're probably going to be a very different patient? I mean, I've been treated very differently based on my attitude when I came in. Like when I got the root canal extracted, the surgeon, when I went to him, he said, oh, you came from Dr. Nathan. I said, yeah. And he said, okay, then you probably are not going to want antibiotics. He says, I have to prescribe them to you because I have to, but you don't have to fill the prescription. He said, you're not going to want general anesthesia. And I said, no. He said, you'll want some local, though. I said, yeah, the minimal amount. And he said, okay. So right off from the get-go, he knew that he was dealing with somebody who was taking responsibility for their health, and that I was not going to be afraid of a little pain, and that I was more concerned about the health of my body than looking good or the other reasons that people go into the dentist, right?
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, just going in and having known about some of these organizations and having an attitude of like, look, I'm really taking personal responsibility here, and I want to explore, biomimetic dentistry. I want to explore dentistry that is more healthful, and these other techniques. They did some really amazing stuff. There really is some new things that are coming along that are incredible. So I really encourage you to, those are three good sources to start out with.
Okay, so why is a root canal so bad, and why does it increase your chance of getting cancer? I mean, everything increases our chance of getting cancer nowadays, but what's going on with those root canals?
Well, the thing is the tooth is dead. And most likely when it died, there's infection going on. And what they do is they drill up, of course, then they clean out the whole nerve. But your tooth has all kinds of tubules in it. It's not just a solid matrix. And there's no way that they can completely fill all of that up. So there's whole pockets of this now dead piece of your body in your body where all kinds of bacteria can live in an anaerobic state and reproduce. I've been to some dentists and I said, hey, I really think that root canals are a big problem. And they've shown me x-rays of people that they've done root canals on, and there's no infection and there's nothing that can be seen, and that it does seem to work. But then again, there's lots of people where, you fundamentally had something die in your mouth, in your body, and now you're trying to keep that dead thing in there. Right? That just is fundamentally wrong.
So basically, mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that it works for, but there's enough of a percentage chance that it isn't, there is going to be bacteria growing and causing these other problems.
Well, there's a lot of concern that even if you can't see it, it's still going on there, that it's a higher percentage than you would think, because just taking an x-ray or just doing some of the different sonograms or different techniques they have, you still can't always see whether there's infection there or not, right? I mean, it's way up there and it's in a jawbone and it's hard to see. And when I had mine pulled, they sent it to a lab. I requested them to send it to a lab, and it cost extra, but they did an analysis on the bacteria on the end of the tooth. And they said, yeah, there's this, this, and this, and I don't have all the scientific names. I have the report. And they said, this is highly correlated with heart disease. And this one is highly correlated with breast cancer. If I had kept that in there, that was a whole area where these bacteria could continually grow and regenerate, because the rest of my body didn't really have access to it. A normal tooth, you do have either blood flow or fluid flow, and it's not real fast, but your body can actively, your immune system can actively get involved with that. Once you put that root canal in there, then there's whole pockets in there that it can't get to, but the bacteria can come out into your bloodstream. So you're putting a load on your immune system to constantly have to fight that off. There are unbelievable stories of people that once they got their root canals pulled out, they had these amazing health transformations, and even things I can't quite understand, like lower back pain that somebody had forever. They get the root canals taken out and they no longer have the back pain. Allergies and sinus problems are another big one, especially for root canals on the teeth and the upper side, because it's right there near those sinus cavities and it's constantly pumping out these bad bacteria and it's affecting that whole sinus region. So a lot of people, there's a lot of testimonies of people that get them pulled out from that region and they no longer have sinus or allergy issues. So, It just makes sense.
You're fascinating.
You're having something dead in your body and you're keeping it, like, wait a minute.
Well, yeah, it's so fascinating that we're at the very beginning of getting this whole industry out of the dark ages. Mm-hmm. It's an industry that is so far behind.
And the beginning of it, the root of it, and I know that I always circle back to this with you, Sarah, and everybody, and you'll hear me and you'll go, oh my God, she's always talking about that, but it's your food. And the cleanest, safest food is going to be the food that you can grow yourself. And you know, I have had that conversation where you can grow half of your own food in your backyard in less than an hour a day.
It's your passion. This is your life passion.
And you talk about the one thing, you know, like what is one thing that I can grab onto in this whole chaotic, unbelievable situation that we live in? You know, what is the one thing? And for me, it has been growing my own food. That's like, I know I can nourish myself. I can source directly from the earth. Just eating half, I know my health is going to be tremendously better than anything else. And it's something that I can do that's proactive. And not only is it benefiting my body and me, it's benefiting my soil, it's benefiting the earth. I'm taking a huge load off the earth in terms of using up fossil fuels and plastics and all kinds of stuff, because you don't need that when you're growing half. So, and you know, you're saying like, boy, you want to begin to look into problems. Like, look, the food supply is unbelievably toxic. It just is, and you know, we can't count on farmers or farmers markets, and I certainly encourage supporting them. But the real security, the peace and the calm, and the one thing that you can focus on where you actually have some control over is growing your own food. And it's just not that hard to do. And it's so, the process of growing food is so healthy. It's even healthier than actually consuming the deeply nutritious food that you produce. So,
which is just amazing. You have the largest organization of community of its kind, the Grow Network. And You do all sorts of educational things for people to learn how to grow their own food and learn how to take responsibility for themselves.
How to make their own medicine, how to grow their own food. And you know, we're the largest community of people who are making our own medicine, growing our own food, and becoming extraordinarily healthy.
It's amazing. And, now, you also have a thing on how to regrow enamel, how to mm-hmm. take care of. What are the things that it does that teaches you?
So it'll show you the key herb that you need to use to regrow enamel, and then how to take it. You know, a lot of herbs, you don't want to use it in a tea, and eating it fresh from the plant is best. But if you don't have that, how to use it in a powdered form. And then a lot of herbs you don't want to continuously take. You need to take a break from it. It also shows you how to use a stick to clean your teeth and really get to know your teeth.
When you say stick, are you talking actually a stick from outside from a plant? Like a tree?
Just go to an oak tree or whatever, a dried stick, and, you know, use a little bit of a knife to shape it and use it. And then also how to, like, really start to look at your teeth and get to know your teeth. You know, your teeth, the dentist has numbers. Your teeth are numbered. And it's really good to start to know what those numbers are. Boy, you want to really blow a dentist's mind when you go in. You say, hey, look, number 3 has been bothering me a little bit lately. That will immediately set you apart from everybody else that has ever walked in the door, right?
I'm sure, yeah.
You know, and beginning to know your teeth and getting, you know, which ones have fillings in them, which ones are crowned, and how do they feel, and you can start to see things on your teeth that if you start rubbing it with a stick, you can actually begin to reverse things early on.
Do you show people how to deal with cavities and how to deal with that?
We
kind
do.
Of stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can seal over cavities. You can seal over cavities, and it's going to require a good diet. It's going to require this herb, and it's going to require some attention, but you can. We also show you, I had an abscess tooth one time, the tooth, I think it was just due to tooth grinding. The thing got, I mean, you know, you want to talk about like a baseball size thing on the side of your face. And my husband was like, hon, we gotta go take you to the dentist. I said, I'm not going. And we treated the whole thing with poulticing, and we show you those techniques on how to do that. You know, when you have a big abscess or when you have, you know, some major problem going on. So, you know, is it everything? No, you know, it's not everything. Do I still go back to see a dentist from time to time? Yes. You know, years ago, I got a bunch
cleaning?
Of, you know, using this stick, you're going to really be able to get your teeth a lot cleaner, than you would, and you may not need to go to a hygienist as often. I know my teeth really, really, when I do this with the stick, it feels just like I've come out of the hygienist. It feels really, really good.
Why? Does the stick connect to the somehow?
Well, using wood and just cleaning it. And as I said, your teeth respond to pressure And it doesn't hurt the enamel. I mean, you're not doing this with metal, that's for sure. It doesn't hurt the enamel, but it really, really helps invigorate the teeth. And you can really get in there and you'll start to, as you start to do this and get to know your teeth a little better, you'll go, oh yeah, you know, that one's not feeling so good. Or you'll start to feel how you'll feel stronger with this herb that you've been ingesting. And so there's a lot of techniques. Now, isn't everything? No, I don't want to say, no, you're never going to see a dentist again. Right. You know, I mean, I've actually got some old crowns that I'm going to need to replace. So, yes, I'm actively, you know, looking for a really good dentist to work with on that. Do I occasionally go to get a cleaning like once every few years now is about what I go? Yes. You know, do I just still want to check in with dentists to, you know, because they do know things and see things that I don't. And I'm certainly not that knowledge. Do I still go to refer to them because they're professionals and they know a lot more? Yes. But will it really help? Would this information in the video really help take you to a new level of personal responsibility and a new level of understanding of how your teeth work and a new level of being able to care for your teeth? Absolutely.
Well, I'll have a link so people can, you know, get to that DVD on the dentistry. But how do they get to your community, your Grow Network?
Well, the Grow Network's at thegrownetwork.com, and just, you know, come on by, surf some of our blog posts and our videos, and if you like us, sign up. We don't blum blast you. We only send out 3 emails a week, and most of those are just digest where we highlight the best blog posts we have, give you a little snippet, and let you know if that way you'll have a sense of whether you want to do it. We have a lot of fun too, though. We have a writing contest, and we have a leaderboard. People get points, and we have this kind of fun competitive thing with who has the most points. And
you have, you know, like 500,000 people in your community. It's really grown, because I know that gardening is the number one hobby in the world. People love it.
And for good reason. You know, as I said, the act of growing food is actually more healthy than consuming that deeply nutritious food that you're producing. But it, you know, there's such a disconnect right now, right? There's such a disconnect. And it's unbelievable how just even stepping outside for a few minutes, breathing fresh air, you know, having your bare feet on the grass and interacting with a tree, even for a few minutes, just rejuvenates you, you know. So having a small garden in the backyard, maybe some chickens. I mean, chickens are so great. An egg is so nutritious, and it's so simple to produce, and there's so much joy in having a small flock of chickens and the interaction with that, and then maybe a small rabbit tree where you're getting really healthy meat. It's a simple thing to do, and it's way more satisfying than whatever you were going to do with Facebook or sitcoms.
Although sitcoms sometimes can be really, a funny sitcom can really take me out of my world. A good comedy. But
I'm not going to turn that down. I think that for most people, they're way overdoing it with the tube time.
Oh, so, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Just sitting there watching TV. And do you know that you burn less calories watching TV than just sitting there?
Really?
Yeah, they've done studies. You get into this comatose state and you lose less calories. But okay, will you stick around and do a couple more questions for my patrons and help me give them more exclusive content?
Absolutely.
Thank
Absolutely.
You so we much. Yeah. You are amazing. I'm constantly amazed by your knowledge and what you're doing for the world. So thank you so much for joining the program.
You're more than welcome, Sarah. And if I've inspired anybody to just take a few more steps in that direction, you know, because the more of us that are doing this, it will help mitigate we're headed into a major crisis. And the more of us that are just a little more prepared, it will help mitigate that whole thing. So not only do it because you personally want to be healthy and want to have more self-reliance and more sanity and more calmness in your life, but also do it because it collectively, the more of us that are doing it, the easier the whole transition is going to be.
Well, thank you so much.